This is the Friday edition.
Friday, right?
Yes.
Yes,
it is.
I think it's still Friday.
It's Friday.
But maybe it'll become Saturday. This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. Andy Dehnart is back on the show with us today. Andy is the editor and publisher of a website called Reality Blurred, where he writes about reality television, which means he watches a lot of reality television. And because we're coming to the end of what they call in television Sweeps Month, that means that many reality shows are coming to the climax of their season. So I've asked him to come on and talk about that and some news from the reality TV world as well. Hi, Andy. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you again.
Welcome back to the show. Before we get to any of the finales of any of these shows, do you have good news for me and for Ian, who is also a fan of The Amazing Race?
I do have good news. The good news is that the show has been renewed for another season, and we'll be back for season 30 sometime next year, probably.
Okay.
Late in the year, if not at the end of the year. Like, this season obviously took almost a full year to actually finally debut, but...
Yeah, why was it delayed? What was the problem there? Was CBS losing confidence in the show?
I think so. I think its ratings have been down the last few years, and they found a show that MacGyver that worked on Friday night and was getting much better ratings than Amazing Race was, and so they didn't have any reason to put it back.
So
they filmed a season last summer, but then they didn't film a season like they normally do in November, which sort of, for me, suggested that the show was at least in a little bit of trouble. And but obviously it came back. It filled in for another show that was effectively canceled and, didn't do great, but I think did well enough for them that they are bringing it back.
Well,
so, I've also heard, I'm curious but from you guys how you're liking this season of All Strangers as fans of the show. Did it change it a lot for you, make it better?
Well, I'll get to that in just a second. I just wanted to say, you know, because you heard the interview when Phil Kogan was on this show a week before they started airing this season, he actually said to Amazing Race fans, please watch and tell CBS you're watching because we need the ratings and the response. Otherwise, we're not coming back. Can we then infer that they got good enough ratings and good enough response to bring it back?
Yeah, I think that is. I think you can infer a version of that. The ratings. The reason I say that is like the ratings aren't great. I think they're down like 21% or so from what they were last year, and less than they were on Friday nights. But obviously, for it to be renewed, it did well enough for CBS and fan response. And I think it's a show that CBS likes. It's won them Emmys. It's got some goodwill. So I think they're probably looking for a reason to renew it. So I think you can definitely give yourselves credit as fans for bringing it back.
I actually think the network hurt itself in regard to this show by putting it on at a later time. 9 o'clock Central is not a time when a lot of families can watch it together. Now, I realize in the world of digital recording, you don't have to watch it at 9 o'clock on Thursdays. But 7 o'clock is such a better time slot for people to just say, hey, kids, come on, let's all watch The Amazing Race together, which we've done with our daughter since she was a little girl.
Yeah, and I think that sort of shows the way the show is sort of feeling to CBS. They were just kind of holding on to it, and they're like, hey, look, there's a time slot open. Let's stick it there. It's not exactly like a priority for them.
So, yeah, I thought it was. I thought it did better on Sunday nights. I mean, I know it got bumped around and pushed late with football and everything, but I think that's when it did its best years on Sunday nights.
Yeah, it did. So, Ian, what do you think of this season?
I don't know if it's added a whole lot more that they don't know each other. I don't know. I always kind of enjoyed the couples, the relationship they had before. So
yeah.
I don't know if that added a whole lot. I like some of the scenery. This year is great. Some of the in the Alps and Italy and things like that. It's very nice. But
I agree. You know, along with Survivor, these two CBS reality shows are among the most beautiful shows on television in terms of production quality. The game, not the Game Changers, that's Survivor, but the Strangers being put together, as Phil said, it only takes a couple of days on that show for you to start getting on the other person's nerves because you're with them all the time.
Right.
And there's no
making crucial decisions.
I don't care if you've been a couple that's been dating for 3 years or you've been married for 40 years. You stay together all day, every day, day after day after day. That little thing is going to get you, and that's what actually helps make the show run, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, no, it's exactly. And I think what I really was drawn to originally was that you got that relationship right off the bat. So I was surprised watching this season that it didn't feel all that different, like Ian said, about watching them, people who hadn't known each other prior to the beginning. It felt like they kind of got to know each other quickly enough, and so that it was the same. You know, I think somebody randomly tuning into the season wouldn't necessarily know that these people were total strangers to each other, because they're sort of, like, some of them have bonded super well, and they're really fun to watch, and then others are just, you know, sort of bickering and annoying. So,
all right, now let's talk about that other reality show I mentioned, Survivor, which is calling this season Game Changers because it yet again brought back previous players, a trend that I'm incredibly sick of on this show. Is Survivor incapable of finding more people who want to play Survivor?
I think so, and I think it's also just a nice crutch for all kinds of reasons to lean on, like, that it's, you know, people, viewers know who the people are. They definitely know they're going to have big characters, so they're not taking as much of a risk. But a little spoiler alert, not really a spoiler, but it looks like the next season, or both seasons next year, might be all new contestants. So that's at least the early word coming out of reports from behind the scenes, where they just finished filming the fall season and they'll start filming the spring season relatively soon, and we'll know more then.
Now, all of that said about this season having people who've been on the show two, three, four times, this is probably the most dramatic Survivor season since the first one with Richard Hatch and Rudy.
Yeah, there's been super high and also a super low moments. Probably some of, I would agree with you, like some of the highest highs and definitely the lowest low with the whole Jeff Varner outing Zeke episode. And so, yeah, it's I think it's had its moments for sure. I've also, though, felt like it's had these stretches where I'm just really bored, which is also unusual for Survivor. Like this past episode, the first 45 minutes were almost put me to sleep. But then, of course, it kind of picked up with that last tribal council. So it's been kind of uneven for me, I guess I would say.
Okay, let's move on to some other shows here. American Idol is coming back, not on Fox, but on ABC.
Yes.
I thought this thing died because the ratings were dead and The Voice had killed it.
Kind of, yeah. Its ratings were way down, and basically it was just way too expensive because Fox was losing money on it. The judges, Ryan Seacrest, they cost too much money, and they weren't bringing in enough money with advertising to offset that. The producers, Fremantle Media, really wanted the show back, and Fox was sort of thinking about bringing it back in maybe 2020 or something like that, but Fremantle wanted it back sooner, and they found a willing partner in ABC, which to me seems to be making some of the same mistakes all over again by hiring an expensive judge in Katy Perry. That's going to be our first judge, at least. And then they're apparently really trying to talk to Ryan Seacrest about getting him back, which to me would not make it any different than what it was. And I feel like you need something special to draw people back, because otherwise, why are we watching that?
Get Ryan Dunkelman.
Yeah, get
Brian
Dunkelman.
He's been sitting on the sidelines all these years,
Dunkelman,
just looking at the phone. Come on, ring, ring, ring.
I think that would be amazing. Yes, or at the very least, he would just be a perfect choice. He's also probably less expensive than Ryan Seacrest.
You think? Also, with Seacrest now in New York working with Kelly Ripa, they're not going to do Idol in New York, are they?
No. So, yeah, the thought is then he'd be flying back and forth one or two times a week to do Live in the morning and Idol at night, and that seems to be a ridiculous proposition. So
plus a radio show, right?
Yeah, plus a morning radio show that's on in Los Angeles.
Right, exactly, which, and then is, like, sort of, you know, digitally reproduced and sent around the entire country, so,
wow.
Yeah, he's a busy guy.
All right, how about Shark Tank? I hear they've got some changes coming.
Yep, Shark Tank is no longer going to be on Friday nights anymore, which is sad, because I've sort of come to appreciate it and like it as an end-of-the-week tradition. It's moving to Sundays on ABC and going to be paired with To Tell the Truth, one of the game shows.
Oh.
So, yeah.
When you put up, but now when you take a show like a Shark Tank and you put it up against Sunday Night Football, the number one most watched show in all of television, aren't you saying to your audience, record this, we don't care?
I think you are, and or you're saying to ABC, we have nothing to counter this with, so we're going to use one of our best shows, although one that has faded a little bit in the ratings the past year or two. That's natural, I think, but also it's maybe they're just like, okay, like, we'll put it here and it'll do fine because it's not that expensive of a show to produce.
Will the same sharks be back?
Yep, all of them, but we're going to get 5 guest sharks, which is the most in the show's history. And the guest sharks include Richard Branson and Bethany Frankel from The Real Housewives of New York. So that should be either fun or a train wreck.
They will fill in for one or the other judges, but in the past, whenever they've done that, I've noticed that Mark Cuban is there on every episode, and Kevin O'Leary is there on every episode. Do you have any sway with the producers or the network to get Kevin O'Leary off for a month or so?
Yes, I wrote a piece about that a year ago, and I hoped it would have helped, but it didn't seem to affect this year, so I'm going to try to lean on them again. To be honest, I have no sway at all, but I can at least shout at at my television and hope that maybe someone will hear me, because, yeah, Kevin O'Leary's shtick is boring, and I'd rather see the other sharks in other combinations and, like, cycle him out. I get why they have Mark Cuban there every week. He's kind of the anchor now and really kind of a force to be reckoned with, and so but Kevin needs to go for a little while.
Yeah, Cuban's the voice of reason on that show.
Yes.
I like when people come on that show and they've got some bogus health remedy, and he says, "Do you have scientific proof of this?" And they hem and they haw, and he says, "I'm out! Get off the show! I'm out!"
And then he'll berate them and sort of, like, rake them over the coals, which I really appreciate that, too, because it's good to call out the charlatans instead of letting them peddle their wares.
Absolutely. Did you know that Kevin O'Leary was very close to being the conservative nominee for the prime minister election in Canada?
I did, and I could not believe that. Like, it just seemed surreal, especially since it was happening sort of as, you know, Donald Trump took office. So
yes.
It was like, is all of the TV I've been watching just suddenly becoming, like, you know, the people who now control my life, essentially? That was kind of scary.
Yeah. You know why I think he dropped out? I think he realized he was a cockroach. He was just going to get crushed.
Or they wouldn't give him a royalty on every single vote that he got. That's his favorite deal.
All right. Any other reality news? The Bachelor has a spinoff coming, I hear.
Yeah, so we have The Bachelorette coming up this summer. By the way, so summer reality TV kind of starting up now that spring is ending. I counted for you, just for this call, 96 shows that will debut between this month and August, reality TV only.
Wow.
So there's a ton of stuff coming. The Bachelorette is one of those, with its first ever black star, so that is something that's long overdue. And then it will have a spin-off of The Bachelor, like a competition edition that will compete against the Winter Olympics called, I think, The Bachelor Winter Games. So you'll see your favorite Bachelor contestants in snowsuits doing competition.
Oh, wow. Is there anything coming this summer that's so new and interesting that you would recommend we keep an eye out for it?
So that's a good question. I'd say debuting today on Netflix is The Keepers, which is a 7-part documentary series about a 50-year-old murder of a nun, but ultimately is about things like sexual abuse in the Catholic Church and PTSD and survivors of abuse, certain sort of how they deal with it over time. It's very, very well done and thoughtful, kind of slow and well-paced. Definitely something to check out, and certainly different than the kind of, like, high-energy, crazy summer reality stuff. In terms of recommendation, I don't know if I would recommend these two shows. Oh, well, here, let me recommend one real quick. The Great British Baking Show, which I think I've mentioned with you before, but if you're not on board with that, it's back on PBS on June 16th, and it's just the best cooking competition on TV, period. So charming, wonderful. Even the most curmudgeonly people I know who've watched it can't help but love it. It's fantastic.
Speaking of British stuff, Andy, have you been watching Victorian Slum House on PBS?
Yes, I have, and I have not yet written about it, but I mean to, because I've really been enjoying it. Have you seen it?
We watched the first episode. I've recorded the rest, but we loved Frontier House and Manor House, and I can't remember what the other one was. But the
1900 and all those.
Where they take regular people and put them into period costume in period houses. And in this one, these are people who were forced to live in a slum building with disgusting conditions from 100 years ago in Victorian England, and they have to make literally pennies for their wages, and if they don't pay their rent every week, they can get kicked out, and they eat, you know, they have virtually no food. They're eating, you know, a loaf of bread has to keep them going for a whole week for the whole family. It's incredibly realistic. Of course, they have to enter out into the modern world to sell things, which is a little bit odd, which is different from some of the other shows they did. But I just like the whole conceit of the way these things are done.
Yeah, no, I really like it too, and I'm hopeful that this means more will be on the way. But I particularly like this one because a lot of the contestants, the cast members are people who have relatives who lived in the slum, so they're kind of connecting with their past. But of course, a lot of the stuff is really resonant today because there are certainly people who live paycheck to paycheck in poverty in our daily lives, or, you know, people we probably even know, and it's, their experience may not be quite like this experience, obviously, but it's also not, it can also be similar in many ways.
You're right. There's a morality lesson sometimes in watching these things, and these people do a very good job of bringing that to the fore. Andy Daynard is the editor and publisher of realityblurred.com. If you're into reality television, you should check it out on a regular basis and sign up for Andy's weekly newsletter as well. Always a pleasure having you back on the show. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paul. Have a great weekend.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.